Republic of Texas Radio, Sunday, April 21st, 2024. Yeah, somebody's burning for somebody, Alan. You know, I know you wanted to bring that story up.
Did you celebrate Hitler's birthday yesterday?
No.
I got out my Nazi flag and was waving it around outside.
Oh,
the only
burning
ones that
for
saw
you.
Were my deer and the
I
turkeys.
Gotcha.
But,
they say
yeah.
that he killed himself and they burned his body afterwards, right? Or something like that? Is that how it links together?
Yeah. He died in Patagonia or Argentina or somewhere over there, yeah. But
no, yeah. That's the conspiracy theory. Well, it might be the
truth.
Oh,
excuse me. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. You're right. He killed himself and set himself on fire in Berlin. You're right.
Yeah. Well, at least he didn't commit suicide and they never found his head. Oh, this world is so insane. But, you know, I did hear about that, and folks were talking about the, you know, there's a Trump trial, right? You know, the Trump derangement syndrome. You know, that I think is on both sides. There's the never Trumpers and then there's the super Trumpers. it's both forms of TDS, right? You know, so he's on trial again. Is he on trial or is it his new album? Trump has a new album. It's called They're Coming After Me. It's like, oh, crap, really? Again? Right? And somebody else is singing, well, I didn't want to blame Trump because everybody's going to hit me if I blame Trump. No, that's a juror. Anyway, so somebody lit themselves on fire. Everybody's trying to grandstand Trump. I mean, how dare they, you know, set themselves on fire in front of Trump's, show that he's having in New York. You know, he's out there saying, you know, I didn't do it, or I did it, or what is he saying? And what does it really even matter, Alan? You know, it's just a distraction. I don't know, but they're burning. They're teaching people to burn, I guess. You know,
well,
are they?
They've had the Burning Man Festival for how many years?
Okay, I guess so. You know, last hour I was kind of mentioning the fact that the lefty loonies, well, they're different than the righty loonies because there's really similarities between the two. You know, the people that wrap them up in the U.S. flag and stand there and salute and do this and that and say, well, that's us. You know, I went to a monster truck show yesterday, Alan, and my God, I still do love big motors and big trucks and rah, that kind of stuff. That's great. But, you know, I was forced to endure 20 minutes of nonsense before the show even, you know, started, right? You know, the first thing that happened. And I know we were talking about burning for you. And maybe this is part of it. I'm not sure. But they said, okay, would you all stand? And I go, oh, crap. And then everybody in the audience stands. And I'm like, what the hell are we standing for? And he says, now, I want to introduce you to the U.S. military. Blah, blah, blah. Hurrah, hurrah. This guy's from the Army. Everybody give him a hand. Hurrah, blah, blah, blah. This guy's from the Navy. Hurrah, blah, 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 blah. And then they're like, oh, and this guy's from the police department. Yay. And then they go, okay, now we're going to pray. I'm like, what the F? I paid for monster trucks, not some kind of indoctrination crap, right? And then, of course, well, you know what? So they did the Oh Say Can You See thing, right? And I'm okay with that. The meaning of that story, I kind of understand that the Star Spangled Banner was waving, and I don't see that too bad. But I didn't stand. I just don't stand anymore, folks. It's nothing personal to all you first responders or whatever. I don't really classify you as first responders.
Well, did you at least kneel, Steve?
Usually somebody else is there.
You might not have stood, but did you kneel?
I stayed on my ass, Alan. I kept sitting, right? And I, for all those folks that stood, I remained seated, right, as a, you know, protest, saying you don't have to stand for this nonsense, folks. I'll empower you to not stand by helping you see that I'm seated for you. Da-da-da-da. No, that's kind of stupid. I'm kind of stupid, but, you know, whatever. But it was fascinating to watch this. You know, I saw people jiggling in their standedness because they don't usually stand. You know, they're like, oh, can I sit down yet? Come on. I don't care. Right? Hurry up.
It's just a ritual.
Song.
It's just a ritual. Just stand. It's a ritual. Go ahead. Just stand and say your pledge, and it'll all be over with, and then you can go on, and we can control you even more. But yeah,
you're an American. Take the jab. You know, they didn't necessarily say that, but they did hail the, you know, all the ambulance driver and the doctors and the med. They told me who to worship for sure. Well, they told me who to worship.
Hey, Steve, how offensive is that to people that are blind? Oh, say, can you see? No, I can't see. What should I
smell?
Stand? It's like, I can't see shit. I mean, poopy duty, I'm sorry, folks.
What about smell? Can they smell? You know, I don't know. You know, but I really enjoyed it, and maybe someday, I mean, I guess the monster trucks, I don't know the history of monster trucks. I remember when they first came out and Bigfoot being one of the first ones and how that relates to Dolly Parton and movies, and
hey, Steve, this started from the
version.
Farmer movement. Before there were monster trucks, there was the tractor pulls. And they'd have like an Allison V-12 aircraft engine on it, or a tank engine out of a Sherman tank, you know, on these big tractors, just wah, you know, throwing dirt everywhere and pulling everything, you know. It started with the farmers, and then it got into monster trucks.
I can see. I see where you're going with that. It's very fascinating. Okay, well, you got a caller there, Alan, and she's out of Kansas. Let's see what she has to say. Ahoy there, Sherry. Welcome aboard.
Well, ahoy to you, too. Hey, were all these guys they introduced at the monster truck, were they all male?
I couldn't see him. I was sitting down. I'm sorry. You know, I couldn't see him. I'm sorry.
So you couldn't tell if they were, you know, transvestites or gay or anything else either, huh? I mean, we've got to be inclusive.
Were they wearing their bright red battle pumps? I mean, army boots?
I was kind of worried they were going to do that, you know, ethnic national anthem, right? And I was going, damn it, I don't want to be the national anthem's bad enough. They do some kind of gay national anthem, but then again, this is Fredericksburg, and well, but the audience was from everywhere, right? I talked to a couple of people, and they came from all over the place to watch the monster trucks. I'm like, oh, okay, so you're not from here. I'm from here. You're not. But they didn't do the gay thing. I couldn't see them. I couldn't see their wrists or their Adam's apple or anything like that. And they didn't announce them. They just said, from the Army. And I envisioned in my head some guy waving. And so maybe nothing happened because I couldn't see them. You know, it was just talk, just like the show.
Did they have a rainbow flag out there, Steve? Well, you couldn't see it. You were sitting down. Sorry.
That's okay. Right. Yeah.
Those monster trucks, they sit so high, you know. Do they ever tip over?
Yes, I've seen them flip over before, you know, in my childhood, 20 years ago or something like that, you know, when I used to go watch them. It's a lot different here in Fredericksburg. They've got a circuit monster truck thing, and they probably have those all throughout the United States where they have like 6 or 8 trucks, and then they tour the area, and they all have about the same motor, and the chassis just have little bolt-on plastic on them, and they make up little things and sell you cups and t-shirts, and they're kind of cute. Hey, maybe it was a UN thing, actually, now that you bring up race and color and the flag, Alan, because the course had blue on all the ramps, and the cars were painted blue, and then they had white chalk leading up to it, so it could have been a United Nations thing. Maybe the United Nations wants to crush cars. You know, just thinking out of the box, right, Sherry?
Speaking of crushing cars, I would think it'd be more interesting to watch a demolition derby myself.
God, I love those. Those are pretty fun, you know.
Yep, demolition derbies, driving on the figure eight track and all that stuff. And oh yeah, the whole idea of the thing, it was like watching a NASCAR race, but the whole thing was crashes and bangs and bashes and wrecks. And yeah, mm-hmm. I remember those. That used to be fun watching those guys do that.
Well, and they used to have them at, you know, when you have your fair season that starts around here in July, and frequently there would be a demolition derby at night on a lot of them. You know, but they ought to do that with the cars they're going to donate to these. They always want you to donate your old cars to some charity, you know. They ought to crash them up first.
Sherry, in today's world, a demolition derby wouldn't last very long because everything's made out of plastic. Back then, there were steel cars, you know, and hell, you know, guys would get hit 2 or 3 times and they'd still be driving and ramming into people. In today's world, you know, you hit a car and it just explodes into plastic and it's gone.
Absolutely.
You know, when I still lived in Texas, one day, guy I was living with, we took off. We were looking to buy property down there, and we stumbled, and he had an old 49 International panel truck that when he got it, because they had the maintenance records on it, because it used to deliver furniture, and it had 450,000 miles on it, according to those records. And but anyway, we used to drive around, and we stumbled on an old junkyard, you know, that I can't remember exactly where it was. I don't think it was actually in the hill country, but it was far enough away from the coast that it wasn't affected by the salt water. But it had such old, neat stuff in it, and it was huge. I wish I could remember exactly where it was.
Hey, you guys, before we get too far off the off subject, check this out. So I would love to see electric cars beat each other up in a ring, right? You know, a Tesla versus a, you know, hybrid or whatever. Brings me to a story about dumb versus dumber, right? And this is a story. Tesla owner calls police on Riven driver for using supercharger. Apparently, a guy from a Rivian electric car, right, Alan, you don't know about these, that they're supposed to be better than Teslas. They're more expensive than Teslas. A Rivian driver got into a confrontation with a Tesla owner who appeared unaware that superchargers are now open to other brands. So Tesla chargers can be used by Rivian dudes, right? In the incident, the Tesla driver called the cops on this other driver and said, hey, come over here. This guy can't use this Tesla charger on his car because I'm here, and it's not legal for him to use it. But Tesla said that they... What is
well,
going
well, see,
on?
See, Steve, you grew up a mechanic.
My God.
When you said supercharger, I was thinking super air aspirated. You know, that's what a supercharger used to be. It was forced air injection.
I know.
Now I understand what you're talking about. Yeah. Okay.
Well, Steve, wouldn't a demolition derby involving electric cars couldn't that lead to like a lot of fires? That would be exciting.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun? It would be great. You know, we could just blow them up instead, you know, the robot wars. But we saw that in AI, the movie by Steven Spielberg and robots fighting robots. And that really kind of sucked.
And you go out and you spray water on lithium and it just burns more intensely the more water you put onto it. Oh, it's quite a spectacle. You're right.
I think it would be a way to adjust the gene pool myself.
Let's get a bunch of EV owners and a pile of lithium and start a fire and have them all breathe it in. I'm sure it'll be good for them. Oh, do I really mean that? Man,
well, hey,
I don't.
Talking about dams, the reason that my dad, you know, grew up around Kansas is because his mother's family moved here. They used to live in an area that became the Lake of the Ozarks. They had to move a lot of their buried relatives, I guess. But, yeah.
So you're in Kansas because of a dam.
Yeah, like. I guess so. Because that's where my grandma met my grandpa, because he was already living here. But sometimes they just build it to control the flooding and then to have a reservoir for, you know, but anyway.
Sure.
Anyway, I'll get off. Take care, y'all.
Well,
thank you, my queen of jade.
Yep. Really good. Let's go to Art in Georgia and see what he is thinking. What you got going on, Art?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I've never been to a truck pull or a tractor pull or a monster truck rally or any of that in my life, but you know what? You do a smash-up derby with EVs, I'll pay to see that. I will definitely pay to see that. In fact, I'll pay double the ticket price to see that. Anywho, you briefly mentioned furries earlier, and it got me thinking.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you got me thinking. I'm being challenged to call in about this because the conversation we had yesterday, we heard a clip on Darren Root's show.
Right? Yeah, Governor America.
Right.
I heard that clip too. Go ahead.
And
tell the audience.
I sat here and I just chuckled and chuckled and chuckled until I couldn't chuckle no more. And I kept thinking to myself, and I told my buddy, I said, you know what? I said, one of them little farts would mess around and get down on his hands and knees and bite me, and I'd kick the snot out of him. Either that or I'd punch him in the darn throat. And then I got to thinking, wait a minute. Here's a good one. If I were a parent, and I'm a parent, but my children are grown out on their own now, so they want to identify as a puppy dog, that's on them. Let them do whatever they want to do. Although my children are smarter than that. God, I hope anyway. But if I had a young child who came to me and said, Dad, I'm a dog. No, you're a boy, not a dog. No, Dad, I'm a dog. Okay, well, come dinner time, when he would sit at the table, he wouldn't find a plate of food for him. And then when he wanted to know where his food would be, it would be over in the corner. Well, it's over there in the corner in a dog bowl. Dogs eat on the floor. Would that be considered child abuse? Because I don't want to let a dog sit at my table.
Hey, you might get a double whammy on that. You might get child abuse and animal abuse.
Oh, God. I think Vicky brought up that point on Covering America yesterday. You know,
I didn't catch that.
Well, it was the whole point of bringing animal rights up to human rights, right? You know, the whole furry agenda is that to, well, humans can be animals, and animals have all the same rights as humans, and so therefore you can't kill a chicken to eat it because it has all the rights that you do. It's kind
of according to science, man is another form of an animal. According to science, we're part of the animal kingdom.
There. Yeah, I'm with you on that, sort of.
Art, get this. There are two kingdoms of life on this planet, animal and vegetable. Vegetables are alive.
Yeah.
So all these vegans out there that say, oh, you never eat anything with a face, yet they'll go down and pluck a plant out of the ground and eat it, simply because we can't hear it screaming, does that not mean that it doesn't want to be eaten and you're terrorizing it and abusing it? You know,
That's my argument. When I'm dealing with vegetarians too. You know,
it's called dominance, and everything eats everything else. You can't exist. You know, I'm sorry, but breatharians, all you breatharians out there, you're full of crap. Are you sun gazers? You're full of crap. You know, you can't exist.
Well,
my whole point is this is how ridiculous all of this has gotten. It's gotten to the point to where we're allowing our children to tell us they're dogs, they're cats, they're chickens, they're guinea pigs, they're gerbils, they're squirrels, and we're supposed to accept this as normal behavior. This is my point. This is how ridiculous, over the top we've gone with identity politics. And you mentioned race earlier. There are people I won't even talk to around here anymore because every time they open their mouth, it's about how terrible the white man is.
Yep.
This is how bad it's got. It's gotten so bad that you can't even have civil, intelligent conversations with people anymore because of the level of stupidity that we have allowed to fester and infest the psyche of the people. It's just, this is how crazy it's all gotten. And it's got to stop at some. Where do we draw the line and say no more? I mean, what, when people start marrying trees? Is that where we draw the line?
Well, you know, we're not drawing the line. They're drawing the line. Refusing to talk about it might help a little bit, you know, and just saying, "Oh, that's so yesterday." But I don't know. It's a good question for sure.
I don't know, Art. I've seen some pretty sexy looking knot holes in some trees. Doesn't mean I want to marry them and try to have a child with them.
Yeah, for real. It's just crazy. I don't know what it's going to take for people to realize that we are living in the world of idiocracy. And that's monster trucks again, right?
You know, everything.
Friend Farron Shoaf used to say, Farron used to say, folks, we are even beyond idiocracy. It's way beyond even idiocracy. You know, I've said before, it's like I've thought about changing my name to Not Sure. I don't know.
Yeah.
Folks, you know, it's a weird world.
Yep.
It is.
Anyway, thanks, guys. Y'all have a great one. We'll talk to you another time.
I appreciate that, or maybe I live that.
Darren and Vicky had Janet Phelan on yesterday, and she was wanting to talk about Middle East stuff, you know, but Janet Phelan, I can remember listening to her, what, 16 years ago, 18 years ago. I forgot when it was.
I
She was talking about the dual water lines that were being put into certain cities and sections of cities with remote control valves. And I wanted to ask her, it's like, you know, they can create a pandemic at any time they want. Just open up that valve and put some kind of a toxin into a water system in a certain part of the city, and all of a sudden you have Ebola all over one part of a city.
Janet Phelan did, because you've told me about that previously, but I never heard anybody really talk about it but you.
And that's why she became she's a targeted individual, which is why she's living in Mexico right now, because they persecuted her, because she went down and documented all this crap, all these dual water lines that were being put in with remote control valves. And, man, and they came down hard on that lady.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to that part of the show. You know, I got distracted by the monster truck races. You know, it's kind of a trip. You know, you do a lot more things when you have kids than you normally would, because if it weren't for him, I wouldn't have dragged him over to the monster truck races. You know, it's and I would have sat there and listened to Govern America all day. You know, it's a great show. You can catch the archives over at republicbroadcasting.org. You want to get back into dams, or do you want to go a different direction, Alan? I have a few directions to go if you want.
Whatever you're comfortable with, Steve. You know, if I have something to say, you know, I'll break in and say it. Go where you want to.
Okay. Well, I'll give this one to people. Actually, don't got too much time to go any direction, because we're about to head into break. But I stare here, you know, as Art was bringing up Idiocracy again, looking at a bunch of plants that I'm going to eat, because I'm doing a indoor growing type simulation again. I bought a fluorescent LED, not fluorescent LED. That's funny.
I hope you're giving them the right retro rights, because you know, Rondo bought out the FDA and the USDA, and you just have to follow their guidelines.
It's what plants crave. No, I've been. So I have some lettuce here. I mean, seriously, lettuce, right? It's not code word for pot. You know, I had that argument in Arizona one time when I initially wanted to grow lettuce. You know, part of my time out in the desert when I was staying there, I was going, well, if I have solar panels, I wonder if I can grow lettuce, right? You know, okay, that's kind of stupid, but yeah, what if you had unlimited energy? So I'm finally growing lettuce in my house using an LED grow lamp, and it's doing okay, I guess, you know, but it and Art mentioned that, and it's like, it looks like that one scene, you know, out of Idiocracy, where the little plant's growing, right? Because they used water. I mean, water like in the toilets. I don't know. Everything's circular. Everything is.
And once again, folks out there, I've said this so many times. If you want to see a movie, you know, the guy that made the movie said, I almost thought I was making a spoof on society. I never figured it would actually become a documentary. Watch the movie Idiocracy. If you've never seen it, watch that movie.
All right. Well, that's it. Final break. We got a half hour left. We'll finish up this damn show. And maybe we'll talk about some other stuff too. But I'll bring the dams to the head. The head? Is it the headwater? Whatever. Republic of Texas Radio.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, let me try to give you guys a little bit of closure on the damn show. Gavin Newsom, well, he's not all the only one responsible. It's kind of a global movement to get rid of dams. And maybe I'll get into that a little bit more, maybe another week. But here's the story. The Klamath River, it had a dam. Now it doesn't. We talked about this a little bit earlier. They're saying that, and I don't know how they counted them. They're saying that it killed 830,000 juvenile salmon, which is close to a million, right? You know, it was terrible, terrible, terrible. And they're going to need some federal money. Of course they do. It's California. They always need money. So this is from the New American. Let me just go on. They actually wrote it pretty good. Right, you know, and it says right here, oh, this doesn't mean the Newsom administration is taking responsibility for blowing up the dam. Instead, its officials are blaming in part, wait for it, dun, 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 climate change. Of course you are. Everything's climate change, especially the whatever, Furbies or whatever they're called. Yet, here it goes. And they continue at the New American. Yet the undammed water gets muddier still. The California Department of Fish and Wildlife claims that the dead salmon were excess fish and that overall populations won't be affected. Oh, so it didn't matter because they were extra fish? So why do you need money? Oh, hey. Don't let reasons get in start of that. But, oh, yes, it's California, right? Left means right and right means left. But right also means left and left means right. But check this out. Despite this, salmon fishing off the coast of California has been banned for a second year in response to the historical low stock abundances forecast for the Chinook runs of salmon originating from Sacramento. What? So they're banning salmon, but salmon are normal and they killed excess, but they weren't excess. They're insane, Alan. But you already knew that, right, Alan?
Steve, a salmon is born, it goes down, it goes out into the ocean, lives 4 or 5 years out in the ocean, then comes back out to spawn. And it comes up and it has sex and it dies. All right. What's over there on the Pacific coast? Let me see. We had a little thing called Fukushima, and all that stuff is being dumped into the Pacific Ocean. And there's a little current that comes straight across and hits right up there somewhere.
Right.
And we've heard for a long time that the biodiversity has gone way down because of what happened in Fukushima, which I watched live
on
television.
There's a time delay on all that.
Steve was sitting here
with
me. And all those dead salmon, after they have sex and spawn their eggs and everything, they die. And guess what that does? All the crawdads and the minnows and the little bugs and worms and everything downstream, they eat all those dead salmon that we don't put on our plate. Because most of it comes from salmon farms anyway nowadays. You know, there's very little wild-caught salmon unless you really look for it. And then do you trust truth in labeling? I don't know, folks. You know, nature is very, it will rebound. I've forgotten the word I wanted to use, but you know, it's like, you know, there's a dam on the White River in Arkansas, creates Beaver Lake. You know, there are these spoonbills that used to, and every spring they come up, and they come up as far as they can. They come up to the bottom of Beaver Dam where they've got trout there. The water's really cold coming out of the bottom. And guess what? The spoonbills still reproduce, even though they can't go up another 60 miles, which Beaver Dam holds about 60 miles of water, something like that. And they can't go up that far, but guess what? The spoonbills are still reproducing. And, you know, nature is very resilient. That's the word I was looking for, you know. It can and it will rebound
Left on its own. And you brought up a point that I didn't even think about. The impact of Fukushima's full water dumping that started last year and them using, different excuses to justify the fact that they're killing the salmon from the flows of water that are being dumped in.
The radiation levels are still below acceptable levels of radiation. What?
What? You know, it's like the whole rapeseed oil argument. Well, rapeseed is not toxic enough to be detrimental to you. You're like, what?
You can pour it in your crankcase, or you can cook your food with it. Right. Yeah, rapeseed. Good deal. Oh, I'm sorry, canola. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. They're crazy. You know, someday we're going to get on to talking a little bit more about dams, but I'm tired of that dam subject. But I can give you a URL if you want. Now, Alan, you can not go to this because, well, you can't write it on the dirt. But check this one out. It's called Dam, D-A-M, Removal, spelled Removal, R-E-M-O-V-A-L, .eu. And they're a movement that's been going on for quite some time, a movement to restore free-flowing rivers for the benefit of people and nature. Huh. Sounds kind of Agenda 21. Yes. Looks like, from what I just found out today as I dived deeper. I hate that deep dive thing. I'm just so fed up with my being
Steve, get this. You know, you said, you can send it some way, Steve, you know, Alan. But, you know, Steve, I actually went into town Friday, made a venture into town.
Oh,
to the
crap.
Insanity. And I had to mail some bills off. You know, I went to the post office. They don't even have the blue mailboxes outside the post office anymore. They completely removed all the, you know, you used to be able to drop by and, you know, and go over and or drive through and drop off your stamp mail or your metered mail into a blue post office. Now, if you want to mail a letter, you actually have to get out of your car and go into the post office and drop it inside in the mail slot. They don't even have mailboxes outside. Which, oh my God, it's like, well, we actually had to pay someone to walk across the parking lot to take the mail out of the mailbox.
Yeah,
it's just they're destroying any anonymity, anything. It's like even though there are cameras watching those mailboxes out there 24/7, you know, but no, they don't even have mailboxes outside the post office anymore.
I can't say that. That surprises me, but not much actually surprises me too much. It's a nightmare. But they're removing all these dams. They're rewilding. I saw it when I left California so many years ago, you know, as they were scraping all the plants off the side of San Francisco to plant plants that they believe existed in the late 1800s to try to rewild it. Right, so they probably call that a successful rewilding. But you said
they're scraping off, or they spraying it all with Roundup or something like that.
Well, scraping, okay. Probably a little bit of both. But they, you know, when I was watching, I was kind of like looking at this nonsense where they
Roundup is safe and effective, Steve.
And paying less because Bayer really wasn't responsible for all those people that died. But, you know, around here, people still love Roundup, and that's a damn shame. And they say, well, we've been using it for years, and I'm fine. Well, I'm kind of dying now, but that's unrelated. I don't know, Alan. Who really cares? It's kind of hard to cry
for
the world.
Very few of us care, Steve. Very few of us care, and it's a hard world to exist in. So
yeah, we never did get to talk about the Utah Dam, the Panguitchi Lake Dam, but you know, the fact is that dam's going to go away. I guess I can summarize it real quickly. You know, it leaked out a whole bunch of water, and it's going to go away. They're going to get rid of a lot of dams. Maybe not today, you know, but tomorrow. If it gets stopped, that would be great. But, you know, how are we going to stop it? You know, Andy said the other night, right, on Travis's show, You know, so they got solutions, right? Everybody's really suggestions, right? Here's how we can do it. We're going to get together and vote them out.
Right.
Hey, Alan, let's get a ballot.
It's so easy to give solutions, but how do you implement that solution? That's the hard part, because most people don't even want to think about what it's going to take to implement the solutions that I have, that I know are going to be effective.
Yeah, I still go to incompetence, right? You know, the best laid plans of mice and men. You know, it's a great saying, right? They all fail because of something stupid. You know, Yuri Berliner, or whatever his name is, NPR.
Asmanov?
No, there's this guy, Yuri. I don't know. He's an NPRian, right, which is National Public Radio. I'm kind of sidestepping to a different subject. But again, you know, is this a controlled release where they decide that they want to blow up National Public Radio? You know, I've had a vendetta with National Public Radio for a long time, right? Ever since I found out that they were mind controlling my ass, right? The day that I went, hold on. Those are my thoughts. No, my thoughts are your thoughts, and you're putting it in there, right? I need to stop listening to you. And I got away from National Public Radio in the late 90s, right, when I realized how much influence that they were doing, and they weren't telling me the truth. Yuri came out this week and said, holy crap, you know, we were liberal, and that's always been known, he said. But holy crap, we're all leftists. There's only Democrats, and, you know, we're pretty vindictive. And so, and then, you know, that was last week. Oh, it's beautiful. And it's kind of falling apart because everybody's like, well, no, we're not biased. And they're looking at themselves, and they're wrapped in, you know, gender-affirming makeup or whatever the hell they do. You know, we're liberals and we care a lot about other people. We hate Trump. I don't know. But that's falling apart, I think.
Yeah. I don't know, Steve. I'm kind of glad it's near the end of the show, because my bladder's kind of full. I'm going to have to go climb in the cat box here in a minute.
That was the funniest part of the show yesterday. You know, the whole that whole clip played on Governor America.
Am I not right? The principal of that school, her child was a furry. So she's promoting all the furry ideas in this school. Was that not right? I thought I heard that. Yeah.
It was. That was. To recap that story, Governor America yesterday at the first hour of the show played a clip of students that were protesting fact that furries in their school, the school allowed to dress up like animals and to attend classes, and the quote-unquote furry run around the school on all fours and people's ankles. News reporter went over to the school, kids walked out. Right, they had a strike, and it sounded like it was an organic strike because, well, kids, 12-year-olds, okay, and then they're sitting there saying, these furries, and like kids do it, it was so cute, the furries, they bite your ankles, and they scratch you, and the furries are bad. And it's like, well, what do you mean they bite you? They'd say that that's not true, that's just all make. But no, they bite. And the furries ended up being the children of the principal, you know, misbehaving kids. But it's within the doctrine of the liberal today to be sensitive to, well, people that are pretending to be something else, you know, pretending to be chipmunks, or, you know, I don't know, that whole make-believe, you know, it's a definite hard thing. Oh, my. I've got all sorts.
So you got to wonder what the lunch counter is like in this school. So if I identify as an armadillo, are they going to have grub worms, you know, and stuff like that on the lunch line? You know, if I identify as an aardvark, are they going to have an ant farm that I can, you know, suck ants out of? I mean, you know, how far is this going to go, Steve?
Who knows, man? Hopefully it will go to the destruction of schools. You know, the education, you know, system is really screwed up today. And, you know, keeping your kids in school can be very detrimental. You know, they don't focus on education. They destroyed a whole bunch of people's intelligence back in, maybe they're creating intelligence. I don't know what to think about the generations coming forward. You know, there's a lot of talk about what they call the millennials, right? Back in the day when I started broadcasting, the millennials were young. Now, I'm like, are you a millennial? Because they're like, they've gotten a lot older, and they have a new group of kids that are the, what do they call them? The Zers, Alan? The Zoomers? And these...
The Vietnam War anti-protesters, you know, the Vietnam War protesters, you know, back when I was young, guess who's in power now? And they're all like, go war! Yeah, let's kill everyone! Yeah, let's send all our money over, and it's like, let's just kill everyone! Oh, really?
Holy
so you were the ones who were at the actual protest to stop the Vietnam War, but now you're pro-war, and it's like, okay, well, yeah, it's economically viable to be pro-war now.
That's disgusting. You know, some people say that our show is really depressing. And I would probably agree with them to a certain extent, but I didn't even get into the fact that we are 2 minutes to midnight or 3 minutes, or actually it's 7 minutes to the top of the hour. But at least according to one of my...
I try to stay in reality, Steve, and in today's world, reality is not a very pretty thing for the most part. You might find a little pocket of sanity where reality is nice, but you look at everything, not even just in our country, but globally, it's a global... I mean, I saw that when the COVID came in, Steve. Like I said, within 2 to 3 hours, I had channels from all across this planet. Within 2 to 3 hours, every channel across this planet had the scary, spiky, knobby COVID ball of death. And I was sitting here going, wow, this is a test of their global control mechanism. And every freaking news channel, I had everything but Australia. And, you know, I had South America, you know, Africa, you know, Europe, Asia, you know, every one of them within a span of 2 to 3 hours had the same spiky, the exact same spiky, knobby, glowing ball of weird colored death on there. You know, the COVID. And I was sitting here just going, oh my God, it's like, this is global. This is a test of their global control mechanism. How in place is it? How do they need to readjust it?
Yeah.
Of course, that's just what I saw, people. Not on the internet, not anywhere else. I saw and used my own brain. I didn't have an information compiling app. You know, it's like I use my own brain, the one that you want to say God gave me. And it sucks sometimes to actually have a brain that can see this stuff and compile this stuff and come out with a conclusion on my own without a freaking app.
Real quick, Ken in Texas, you got something to add? We got a few minutes left.
Good morning. Hey, they need to take advantage of these furries and, you know, identify as a cat and say, I want meat. I want fresh meat.
Ooh.
In other words, you know, they want you eating vegetarian. So, you know, take advantage of try to get what things should be. Anyhow, I thought I'd throw that out there.
Well, that's a good point, but then why is cat food have so much rice and barley and all that other stuff? I think they're lying to pet owners about the, you know, what dogs and cats should eat. You know, but that's just
But if you go to the zoo, they don't feed that to the lions and so on. They have creatures that eat, you know, big hunks of meat that they throw out there, you know, the alligators or whatever. You know,
I say we start feeding the lions wheat Let's see if they can eat wheat. We'll give them a grinder and some wheat berries and say, here you go. Meow.
Kind of reminds me of saying, let them eat cake. Yeah, you know, it's wheat, so. But anyhow, yeah, I just say,
huh?
You got to take advantage of these little things they throw out because they're so ridiculous and they just open the door for these types of things. We just have to get creative in our thinking and say, oh, yeah, you know, well, Sun Tzu, you.
And hey, Ken, I do want to drop you a compliment, my friend. I heard you call into another show, and you were asking some very pertinent questions. But you admitted, it's like, I'm not an expert on this, but I've heard it. But, you know, I can tell my friend, that you've got a brain, that you think about things. You know, you were asking very pertinent questions, and you admitted, it's like, you know, I was wondering, do you have an answer? It's like, I'm not an expert on this, but you know enough that you can even ask a very valid question and say, you know, what's going on with this situation? And I just wanted to say thank you, man. I heard you, and I'm like, that's a man that's got a brain that thinks for himself, and you're an oddity in today's world. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a caller.
Well, I've heard that oddity thing before, so.
that's been apt to listen to music.
Sometimes, you know, you know the answer, but you have to ask questions, because if you come out and say, well, the answer is, then people dismiss that because it's like, well, who are you to tell us what the answer is? So you just have to ask the question and let people go there. But
thank you, you're part of our RBN audience, and there's a lot of people out there with brains that don't call in, we had a great discussion on the North Texas fires. You know, you're talking about, you know, it's like, well, how can I help you? It's like, well, send us bullets. It's like, you know, we found cattle piled up on fence lines, you know, that were just dying in misery, and we've had to put them down. You know, if you want to send anything, send more bullets so we can put the rest of them out of their misery. You know, I mean, you know, just stuff like that. You know, thank you for being out there, man. Thank you.
Well, thank you guys for being out there, because otherwise I couldn't call in and reveal my ignorance.
being ignorant is not a bad thing. Stupidity is a different thing. Ignorance you can cure.
Well, it's that time where, you know, we have to start doing something. And the music. Well, I should have called in sooner again. But thanks, guys. Appreciate what you do. Talk to you later.
Say goodbye, Alan. Thanks, Ken. Alan dropped. Dave's up next. Big deal. Red Pill Politics. Hang on, folks. Sunday's just starting.
And the farther sky. Paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.